I'm broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Okay, so going we're right behind schedule, but we'll quickly hurry up with this. The next session is going to be about business owners. Who's excited about that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a 9-to-5 and you don't have business by the side like me, this is a good time to pray. Father, open my head. Give me creativity. Let me know how to do business. That's the future of work. Okay, so before I call my panelists, can we have some chairs? Because these are very important people. We are blessed to have them. We are blessed to have them. You know how you know someone is when you put someone in a desert and they come out with fruits. You take them out of there and you put them in another place that is dying. And they make that place fruitful, then you know that you have someone who's a multiplier. And those are the kind of people we are calling for today. So, please, with a very warm hand of fellowship, can we applaud as we invite Pastor David Adeyemi. Man of God, sir. Praise God. Allow me shine small. Let me read his bio. Calm down. Thank you. David Adeyemi is the COO and co-founder of Vidana Apparel, an e-retailing fashion hub based in Lagos, Nigeria. He has over 5 years enterprise experience in sales analysis and operations management in e-commerce. That is the future. E-commerce is the future. Future. Yes. When pastor says somebody is his mentor, you guys. If you don't have your pen and paper, bring it out. Oh, this is super hot. The next person who we're going to be calling right now. Hey, Pastor Ose Hastro. Glory! It's a privilege, sir. He's an entrepreneur with diverse experience across different industries, ranging from manufacturing, food, laundry, renewable energy, that's the future, and gas. He's currently the CEO of Gas Up Energy Limited, a fast-growing cooking gas service delivery company. Hallelujah, someone. I said we have powerful people in the house. Woo! You're welcome, sir. Finally. Put your hands together as we welcome Engineer Energy Celestina. Oh, glory! See he a man diligent in his work. He shall stand before kings. Engineer Energy Celestina is the Chief Executive Officer and Project Manager of Lestina International. She has over 12 years working experience with various engineering and construction companies before choosing to run her own private company. Please put your hands together again. Hallelujah. So I have a confession to make. Because I'm very playful, would have someone please moderate the session with me so that we don't play all through. So please put your hands together as we welcome Pastor Wumi as she joins me to moderate this this very intense platform. As they hot.
Okay, thank you very much. Please click our share on Facebook. Click your share icon on Facebook. Let's share this service. Let's share this service. Let's get it out. So, LinkedIn, my people are still here. Some people will naturally not wait for second service. But because they want the all-star, they are all here. I know your numbers. Okay, so LinkedIn, what next should you update? Update your current company where you work. It shows that you are busy. It shows that you are productive at something. It shows that you are doing something at the moment. And next, update your experience. Put the most recent first. Now, if you are just fresh from youth service, that experience you gathered in 1 year is an experience. Nobody will take it away from you. Even if you taught in a secondary school in Guadalajara local government, put it there look for a touche way to put what you currently do. So update your experience, put the most recent of your experience, topmost. And then the next thing, update your certifications and update your skills. Your experience, your certifications, and your skills. Then if you look at your LinkedIn, there's a place where you see open to work. Click on it, enable it, and make sure that you are open to all employers or only recruiters. That way, when people put your job title or your discipline on the search icon, your profile will pop up. And then you begin to see more people view your profile, and then you begin to get all of that. So after you are done with all of these updates, go back to check your profile. You'll see the all-star. Hallelujah. In this second service, we're going to be giving tips, essential ingredients that should be on your CV, and tips, business proposal writing. Stay tuned. You've just started. Hallelujah. So to our speakers, we'd like to have first Pastor Ose. He's going to be talking to us about how to start. Pastor Ose, from his profile, that profile is not detailed enough. He has started so many businesses that are not dead. So you know what it means to start and thrive. So he's going to be talking about how to start, customer acquisition, customer retention, sources of funding for your business. I don't even know how he's going to do this in 7 minutes or in 6 minutes. Give us punchlines. We are here and we are all ready. Thank you very much, Pastor Ose. 6 minutes.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, I hope this mic misbehaves once in a while, because Pastor has told me if the mic works throughout. Okay, well, good morning. I'm going to be speaking on how to start a business, starting a business. I would say I'm a pro in this, but I've had some experience, especially in starting businesses, managing businesses, and so on and so forth. Okay, so basically, I was born into a family of business people. My both parents were business people, my dad, my mom. So, and while trying to look into my own genealogy as well, my grandparents, great-grandparents were traders. So more or less, I think it runs in the blood. Well, in as much as I never wanted to go into business when I came out of school, I will say in a way I was led in that direction. I graduated from school, I wanted to go into the oil and gas. I was doing different certifications, project management and the rest, but I ended up finding myself in business from the end of my youth service up till now. So my first business, I came back to Lagos after youth service. I will say a bit of my stories and some principles that I embedded in my stories. So I came back to Lagos after youth service. Before I came back to Lagos, it was quite clear for me that I was going to go into business. So I started off immediately. In as much as I knew that the road wasn't going to be that easy, I was still trying to submit my CV. I got some interviews. I remember traveling down to Port Harcourt for a oil and gas company. I went through the first stage, second stage. After then, they didn't get back to me. But I just kept on doing my business. And I remember my first business then was a laundry business. And I could remember then that it really made sense to me, in as much as I really didn't have any passion for laundry. It was, for me, how to really get customers, how to grow a business, how to see that there are repeated sales and the rest. I was running that business with a friend that I met in NYC then. And our office was in Ikeja. And the business ran. We weren't profitable for about 3 months, but after 3 months, we became profitable. And by the 6 months, then I learned one of my very first important lessons in business, which was signing of contracts and ensuring that, because it was more of a partnership and we're running in business, like, okay, friendships and the rest. So the business went bad. Somebody was getting a bit greedy, and I just had to step back, and then plant was the next thing. So after then, I can remember between that period, I was actually already planning the next stage of how we can get more profit into the business. So we were then looking at, okay, how can we put more products, put more assets in the business? Because one thing you really need to learn about business is you need cash flow. And cash flow is king. Once you have a business that doesn't bring cash flow daily, weekly, monthly, it can't survive. It's hard for it to survive. So you need a business that, okay, you can project by this week we are going to make so number of sales. By this month we are going to make so number of sales. Then if we can get so X number of customers, X number of customers will be able to give us X number of profit and the rest. But and we were doing all that. So the business was going smoothly, and then we had to leave from there. I had to step out of that business and move to the next. But I'll come to my current business that I run currently, because that was years back. So my current business was is into gas, cooking gas. And how did I get into this business? It's way off what I studied. Yes, I'm into the engineering line, and I love to fiddle around things, but it's way off what I studied. So I had moved houses, and where I was living was inside an estate. And not just inside an estate, it was down a hill. So I didn't have the luxury of having bikes to come into the estate to pick my gas cylinder, to go and pick up, to refill. I'm saying this in particular because business comes from problems. It comes from problems. It comes from a need. It comes from someone's frustration. And it's relatively not just what your passion is, what your talent is. It comes from solving someone's problem. And that's how you really get rewarded in business. So I'd moved into that estate then, and my gas had finished. And I can remember that I didn't also have a car again at that period. And he was tough for me, because how was I going to carry a 12.5 kg cylinder to the gate and go and refill? I called one of the guys that used to come and refill for me then in my former place. He declined, said he couldn't come. And I'd gone to look for different alternatives. So I couldn't get. So I had to take through the stress of taking the cylinder out of the gate. And it was very stressful for me. So I could remember talking with a friend a few days after that. So he was asking me a few questions about business and the rest. And I said, see, business actually comes out of solving people's problems. You need to put aside, okay, I like to maybe cook. I like to sew. I like to look good. It's beyond that. What exactly is the problem you're trying to solve? And how big is the market? How many people also have these other problems just like you? So basically, when you can solve that, you already have a business at hand. So I started to do my research. I did a research for how many people had the same problems like me. What were the age range? How do they think? Where do they shop? And a lot of things. So I wrote a business plan. I didn't know anything about oil and gas. So I had a friend then that had a filling station far away in Akute. And I told him, okay, I wanted to start to do petroleum marketing. So I wanted to learn online for a while. So I was going there like once a week for about 6 months. And I used to go there, go, come. And after like about 6 months, I didn't even still know where to start in the business, because it was a very, very capital intensive business. So I had to look, okay, how do I start? And I have this problem to want to start big, because I've seen a lot of things start small. So I need to really look, okay, what was the most little way in which I could start? And that led me to, okay, what exactly is the problem and how do I solve it? So I noticed that the problem again for people was convenience. And how can I solve that problem? So I remember that back then, in order not to start too big, not to invest too much on logistics, I got a small shop in my estate there, and I put some cylinders there, and I was the first staff of the business. It was now how to use to deliver the cylinders. I had to buy a small trolley, push the cylinders around within the estate. When the people call for gas, I go, I deliver to them and the rest. So this was, I could remember that some people are looking at me, okay, where's this guy really coming from? What does he do? Is he a graduate? Is he an Igbo boy? Is he, because the kind of business that I do, they like, is the Igbo guys that do it. And Most times it's like, these guys are already going to scam you. Your gas is never going to be full and the rest. But from that small business pushing around with a trolley, we have a tricycle for delivery. We have motorcycles. We have staffs on ground. And the business is just about going to be 2 years and it has been able to run and grow beyond me. So basically, it has been able to do that. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. Please, can we put our hands together for him? Wow. I don't know what you took down, but see, business comes from solving problems. What problems have you seen and glossed over? Like, my gas has finished how many times? It never occurred to me that, you know, that could actually be a business proposition. So what are you overlooking? Eh? People that just cook and call people to come and eat. Could that be your business? Let's just keep listening. How big is the market? Right? Now, there's something that he said that is very profound. Leverage on your network and research. Nkem is my friend. I know nothing about banking. I don't know how to make money. I don't know how to multiply my money. So is it that I am, you know, I just get and spend? Meanwhile, there are other ways to make money. Can my money work for me? Really? So I want us to not just listen to them, but relate these things to your situation, where you are and what you can do. All right, now, so running right along. Engineer Celestina Energy, please proceed. 7 minutes, please.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this opportunity. And my business experience is 9 years. There was a mix-up there. So today I'll be talking about multiple business management. How do you multitask? Number one, you must have knowledge of what you are going into. Thank God for YouTube. I stay overnight to watch videos of several things. So you can go to YouTube, watch things. I've seen a couple that came all the way from the U.S. to start a business in Nigeria. They are my personal friends. And they started a salon. The salon folded up. Why? Because the wife, not the husband, didn't know how to make hair. So they will have to change stylists every time. And before you know, the thing folded up. Because when you get different people that are not skilled. So number two, find similarities in your businesses. You must find what is the common factor between the two business you are doing. If you cannot find a common factor, you can get extra hand to help you. But if you cannot afford that, you should be able to multitask. Recently, during the lockdown, I started e-commerce because, of course, nobody is building or doing interior business. And I can't starve. And my sister has been telling me about it. I'm saying, it's not my field, I beg. I'm not interested. One thing I want you to know is, get ideas from every field. Even if you are not interested, just keep it in the bank. I can do makeup, is in the bank. I can do so many things. In fact, people ask me, is there everything you can do? I just keep them there. Because one day, there will be a use for it. So I did e-commerce, and I found out that, okay, how do I get this product to people? I'll have to pay for logistics. I entered into logistics too. So I started doing logistics for myself and from other people. So find common factors. If you cannot find, you can multitask. You can stay all night to. When I was doing e-commerce, I stay all night to get all the details of the clients. Very early in the morning, I start calling them. Then when my construction business come, I go for it. So the next one is, how can women hold business space and be profitable? Number one, you must be ready to take risk as a business owner. I remember when I came to this church newly, we were moving to this place. I volunteered to do so many things. I did so many things. I volunteered. And that's how so many people know what I do. And I can tell you from this setting here, some people have referred me to business deals that click, like Brother Dimeji. Nkem, my sister in the Lord. If that one click now, I am a big girl. So be ready to take risk. Volunteer, use your money, don't worry. One day to pay off. The next one is, the fan is disturbing. The next one is branding. You know, when I started my business initially, I started with a name, TW Concept. And then the name has started flying already. I'd printed card, I've done so many things. So when I was ready to register my business, they couldn't find the name. So I had to look for another name, came up with this new name. I've not even printed card because I have to start all over again. You must learn branding, and your branding must be top notch. It doesn't matter you don't have money. What I do is, I can take half of my salary. I'll give the printer guy. Just know how to talk to them. That when I'm ready, I'll balance up. I did so many things. So I did a profile. So you just have to do all those things and keep them. Have Facebook, your business Facebook, your Instagram Facebook, your LinkedIn account for your business. All those things, they don't cost anything. They are free of charge. You can go there. Then you can also do your business logo. I did my own for 1,000. Look for people that can do cheap things. Just do all those things and keep them. One day they will be called for. Then nextly, learn investment. I remember my first business. I made how many million? I went to buy car straight. And I was broke for a very long time. I had to come and tell pastor. So learn investment. That's why I say knowledge is key. If I had known what to do, invest in my, what kind of business to invest, or that type of hustle to do, I wouldn't have blown that money. So learn in reinvestment. Go on YouTube. Watch videos. Go and learn trade. Learn skills. It's not a waste. The next one, you must be deliberate. Very deliberate. Some of you finish school. I'm sorry if you are working in bank or anywhere. I'm not discrediting you, but I'm just telling you that you must be deliberate. For example, I want to be an interior designer. Why will I go and be working in a bank? Go and work with somebody that does this business. It can take you 6 months, 1 year. Explain to them that, please, I want to do this. You have to be deliberate. So that after some time, when you start your business, number one, you would have built client base. Number two, you will have experience. The next one, think big. Be open-minded. Don't build a business for you and your family and your friends only. Think big. Be international. I remember when I got my first client, the business was about 27 million. I was shaking like this. I didn't know what to do. I was confused. I had to get a friend that eventually duped me because he saw that this one didn't know. I had to get a friend. He said, don't be afraid. Don't worry. The boy was I was older than him, but you could see the confidence at which he was talking with the clients. He was very confident. So I learned that from him. And with time, I started my own business. I was very confident. The next one, you must be spiritual. Don't let anybody deceive you that business is not spiritual or work is not spiritual. Why are people joining Illuminati, Freemason? Why are they joining it if business is not spiritual? You must learn to call clients from the place of prayer. I have seen cases where somebody say, come and take check. And the next day is delaying, 2 weeks, 1 week. I say, Mother Joy, hear ye the word of the Lord. By the next day, she called me. You must be deliberate. You must be spiritual. Don't let anybody deceive you. My first client that I met him in a mechanic workshop. And I remember that day, I was doing the internship. I noticed that those engineers were hustling for clients. I said, what thing they happen for here? And they told me that, there's money in this business. So I said, So that day I went to work. I was just pacing. I was just speaking in tongues. I was pacing on the side. I said, Lord, you will give me my own client. You establish me in this business. Then some weeks later, I will be in the bus. I will hear the Holy Spirit say, engineer. He will whisper it in my ear. I said, he will whisper it, engineer. So ask Agnes, if you ask me, what do you do? I say, my name is Engineer Tina, straight up. And she started laughing. That, why are you doing that? I say, what the Holy Spirit has told me, I should not be denying it. So that day, I went to the mechanic workshop, the first client I met, Mr. Ben. He said, how are you, baby girl? I said, who is this filthy man? And my mechanic did like, stay well, na correct man. So I started smiling. So he asked me, what do you do? I told him. He said, really, you're an engineer? Give me your phone number. I gave him my phone number. Do you know that the next week, the owners of this building, where they have moved to, were the ones that did that place. That was my first client.
Wow.
So I went there. He said, I should not worry. He came, he introduced me to the owner of this place. It was an hospital. The husband was a white man. And the man just liked me. He said, you're a Nigerian girl. You are this hardworking. If it's some of your mates. So he took me to his office. So now my colleague swindled me of this one. So I left it. I was crying. I said, God, which kind of wahala be this one? So the man called me one day. That, Tina, where are you? Come. I went to their office. One lady there just saw me say, are you sure this lady is an engineer? Are you sure she's not your girlfriend? That thing she met just brought my morale down. I started shaking again. I said, God, which kind of wahala is this?
Tina, please,
but before you know it, the deal did not click for a long time. One day, I had a dream. I saw that the white man took me to the workshop and said, Tina, pick a car here. I woke up. I said, this thing is still open. I started calling his name. I said, Mr. Westerhoff, wherever you are, call me. Before you know, they called me in that office. All those people that were against me, they fired all of them.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And that was my first day.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God, I don't even know where to start, but I wrote a few things down. Use your skills, find similarity in your business, what is the common factor? Be ready to take risk. Volunteer. Branding, research and push your business in everyone's face. Leverage on social media, it is free. Learn investment, keep learning. And finally, you must be spiritual. Thank you very much. That was quite a whole lot. Thank you. So over to Pastor David. 7 minutes, please. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm grateful for this opportunity to, you know, come and share my journey so far. And I know that someone possibly, are you at the phase, this phase now that I used to be. And I want to start with this scripture, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, do not despise the days of little beginning. And so that was how my own story started. You know, I had started this e-commerce thing, registered Konga back in Abuja. My wife, she was here in Lagos, you know, started Jumia. And how did it actually start? It was that my brother traveled, he bought some books, brought in brochures from China, a lot of them. And one of the books he bought was written about Alibaba, Jack Ma. So I picked up that book. I read that book. He bought another one, Toyota, How Toyota Company Started. I read that one. Another one, Mercedes. I read that one. You know, I had to go back to the Alibaba, like, okay, so which one can I start with? I just, you know, finished NYC. I'd been promised job with KRPC, Kaduna Refinery. I studied chemical engineering, by the way, for my first degree. So, you know, I was waiting for this job to come and nothing was forthcoming. But because of my background in chemical engineering, I started producing liquid soap. I would take my liquid soap, I would take it to car wash centers, take them to restaurants, take them to anywhere they have anything to do with soap. You know, so I started that. I was reading this book. So, you know, so when this opportunity to start selling online came, I'd read about Alibaba, how Alibaba started, and how for years, in fact, Alibaba, they were the first people who bought on their own website. Nobody knew about them. Nobody, internet, like, I want to see, you know, like the way it is in Nigeria, or like we say, also we say Ghana, Fiji, like, I prefer to see what I'm buying than to buy from the internet. So the internet was not really... Nobody had bought into the internet at that time, you know. So they came to Konga. I mean, Konga came to Abuja. The opportunity came, you know. I went to Wuse Market. From my salary, slashed my salary into two. From my salary, we listed the product online. And the day the first order came in, wow. I was so excited because for me, and I say this, that if I have the opportunity today to meet Alibaba, I will tell him, for me, my first product, I didn't buy it myself. Somebody bought the product online, you know. So the business started that way for me, and we came into Lagos. I came in to write a professional exam, and, you know, I saw the opportunity again. And Lagos is quite different from Abuja for people who have been to Abuja. You know, Abuja is more of the corporate organizations and all of that, but in Lagos, you have to be on your feet. You have to be on your feet. So the first day I went to Idumota Market, I saw products. I saw opportunity. I mean, I wasn't seeing... What I was seeing that day was like, so you mean there are people in Asaba who don't have access to this product. There are people in Enugu who don't have access to this product. You know, so my mind opened up, and I remember this day, pastors, after service, pastor said, I wanted to meet Pastor, and Pastor was like, is it about job? I said, no. I don't know if Pastor remembers. I said, no, it's not about job. You know, and that was how we started. I actually started with 20,000 naira, myself and my wife. We started with 20,000 naira. So, you know, the product, the stuff started all the way like that, and we grew. I mean, the business started, products. We went beyond buying from Idumota. Like, okay, so the people in Idumota, are they manufacturers? Where are they getting the product from? I want to know where they are getting this product from. I want to also be able to talk to the manufacturers. You know, I shared it with one of my friends, and it was like, you want to be customizing your own product? In me, I like, why not? What am I saying? I'm saying that there are opportunities for you now that you don't necessarily need so much to start a business. And let me say, for instance, maybe you are living in someone's house at the moment. Do you know that you can start a product-based business and you don't have to store the inventory in where you are living now? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is zero cost on warehousing. Maybe Pastor Barry is selling smoothie. And I know that, okay, so I can leverage on the internet. Okay, so why don't I build a relationship with Pastor Barra? Can you make, so I already have historical figures of maybe the people who take somebody where they are and all of that. So I link up with him, produce this product for me and all of that. And I call on Sister Tina. She has a logistics business. What do I do? I'm leveraging on other people's resources to start a business. So I call Pastor Barra, I call her, please pick up this product. I call the customer, so time, your product will be at your doorstep, you pick up the product. So that was how it started. You know, we started our first product, we designed the product, they brought it in.
Place. You are in business as a believer, not to make money. Analyze your business. Do feedback form for your business, if need be. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Because I'm Oliver Twist, there's something that I really wanted you people to touch on, which was not really touched. So it is customer retention, customer appreciation. So Pastor Ose will take customer retention. Pastor David, you will take customer appreciation. And Engineer Tina will take, hers is a little bit complicated in the sense that how do you manage a customer who begins to look at you and ask you for some favors, some sexual favors? Thank you. So let's start from Pastor Ose. Thank you.
Praise God. Okay, so for customer retention, I think one of the biggest things that you really need to discover as a business person or as a person going into business is customers are the lifeline of your business. And it's not just important to get a customer to buy the first time, but to keep on buying after the first time. So for,
Let me even ask, how do we do customer acquisition? Because you have to acquire them first, right, before you retain. So can you start from that?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so basically, for customer acquisition, the first thing is you really need to know who your customer is and know how to reach them. So for me, like I said, the kind of problems I wanted to solve, I tried to figure out through research, because I did that time I did a survey. So I tried to figure out who exactly my customer is. So I, after the research, I came back to realize that my customer is the person between an age bracket of 26 to 40, 45 depending, but is more or less a young parent that has a child that is less than 10 years, and is a professional and lives in an urban area. Now, why did I narrow down my customer target to this? It was because the kind of problem I was going to solve, those were the people that who are going to relate with each more. So you have a mother or a wife that works and has a nanny at home, and the nanny calls that I'm cooking for the children and gas finishes. The mother is at work and she says, how do we get, there's nobody, the nanny can't leave the child at home to go and get gas. So that's exactly who my customer was. So the nanny should be able to have a gas supplier across the street or somewhere close by that she can just call on the phone, comes to pick it up, go and refill. If she's in the middle of cooking, gives her something to temporarily finish cooking while she cooks finish and then refill her own and bring it back. So that was exactly the customers I started to focus on. So I started to learn how to smile more to ladies, women especially. So you see me also to play with children. So I can remember when we are going when we go for marketing, I go to people's gates. I see their kids outside. I said, okay, so where is your mom? Their mom is inside. I said, can you go and give your mom this flyer? Just tell her that we supply gas within the neighborhood, and when they need to buy, they should call us. So we got a result like that. Then where I was living was an estate. So I targeted when most of the people that where my customers used to come back. So they come back 5 p.m., 6 p.m. So I stand by the estate gate, and I begin to distribute flyers there. For a few of them that I saw that walked into the estate, I walk up to them, tell them about my business, and then I noticed that, okay, some of them go to shop in certain places. So I started going to those places. Of recent, I park my tricycle there. I tell my staff, we wear our branded T-shirts. We do publicity around those areas. So it started exactly from where exactly my customer was. So it then could lead me to how I could acquire those customers. So for retaining them, one thing I knew my customers were big on was convenience. So I ensured that once a customer calls for gas, the first question I ask is, are you in the middle of cooking? If the customer is in the middle of cooking, it's an emergency situation. So I immediately send my guys out. We have these small stop gaps. We call them stop gaps. It's an emergency cylinder. They go for especially customers that have new cylinders or wouldn't want you to exchange their cylinders for an old one or something. We take the small ones to them. They use that to cook temporarily, and we pick up their hunger and refill it and bring it back. So and we ensure that we do that within 20, 25 minutes so that whatever you're cooking doesn't get spoiled. So that way, we started to build loyalty. People started to say, okay, these guys are serious. They're doing the business in a different way. And basically, to me, it was, okay, what exactly is the problem of my customer? So I took it from that angle and started to solve it from there. And that way, then to retain them as well, one other thing we did was, to every cylinder that comes to us, we have a tag for it. We take the tail weight, that's the empty weight of the cylinder. They will also write down the date. So for like some of our clients that just have one cylinders, we can call them before they are. We know, like, okay, this is the duration for which their cylinder is going to use. So we can call them before it finishes, pick it up, do a top-up for them, and return it back. So that way they don't need to run back into an emergency at that time. So we started to build loyalty and also build customer retention as well.
Wow. 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 See, anointing is not enough, like Pastor would say. Anointing is not enough. I would have just been speaking in tongues for a bit, you know. I most likely lost all the customers. But did you hear the planning? Like, I and Ada were talking the other day that, we have to be careful and cook everything now. We don't know the date our gas will finish. Because the guy, you know, and he knows. So he would have called us if we were talking to him to say, you guys, be ready. Or don't cook every 2 days, you know. So thank you, sir. Thank you, please. Another round of applause for him. I'm still wild. And that's a rare thing. Pastor David, over to you. I forgot your question. Me too, I've forgotten. Customer appreciation.
Acquisition.
Appreciation. He spoke appreciation. About acquisition and retention. Yours
okay,
is
you know,
appreciation.
Okay, so because my own industry has to do with more of the digital, so one of the things we do is, for instance, if you're buying one product, it goes for a certain amount. If you're buying two, we reduce the amount. If you're buying three, we further reduce the amount. So that's one of the things we do. Now, another thing we do is to offer free delivery. Okay, so you buy a product, and you must have seen this. You don't know, but what you're buying a product, for instance, let's say, what's 10,000 naira, and you are in Lagos. We could offer to say, okay, if you're buying that product worth 10,000 naira, there's free delivery. So that means you don't have to pay for delivery. So that's one of the ways we appreciate our customers. And sometimes what we do is we put a product that goes like a complimentary product. Let's say, for instance, if you're buying a makeup brush set, you know you need a contour, concealer, right, ladies? Right? So we give that additional valuable product. We attach it to it. And I think I've spoken about that here once, about generosity model. You know, when people see that there is free attached to that product, there's a way that naturally Nigerians, we quickly move towards that product. So that's how we.
Thank you so much, Pastor David. So what to just to recap what you said, you talked about discount, free delivery, complimentary product, and generosity model. And just to buttress that, you know, sometimes when you see buy this and get two free, you just want to buy. At the end of the day, it could be more expensive, but you know, that two free, you just justify it. Thank you very much. And I know I've canceled a few things because of delivery fee, you know, because I'm not home, so you can't bring it now. And if I was having a business with you, that would not be a concern. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, Tina, over to you. Thank you.
How do you handle difficult customers?
1 minute, 2 seconds.
That tries to sexually harass you. Number one, you must find common ground between you and your customers. Study them very well. What do they like? Do they like discussing about football? Are they pastors? Don't be surprised, some pastors too. Do they like Bible passages? Or are they not born again? Or one thing or the other, just find it. That's why you must be vast. Don't be restricted to your field alone. So if it's, for example, if a person that is not born again, I try to preach with the person. And I notice that it works for me all the time. We just argue Bible for a long time. And before you know, the person becomes my friend. So try to make your customer your friend. It goes a long way. If I am your friend, you remember me more. Who to give business to? You'll be thinking, oh, Tina, my friend. So you remember me more than somebody that is just trying to be business casual. Then the next one, trust your instinct. Not every customer is your customer. It's not every. I've entered into trouble because of that. Somebody, I didn't know much about tiling then. I didn't know that there are different grades of tile. So somebody gave me money to buy tiles. I went to buy the expensive grade. So she went to ask another person. The person said, no, these tiles are too expensive. These are the prices. I didn't know how to defend that. No, my own is an expensive one. This is a Nigerian made. So that's why I say you must have knowledge of what you have. Then check this customer. If they are trying to overbargain, there are people like that. They will stress the hell out of you. Just try to look for a way and escape. They will price. Madam, why is this? People that find fault. Not every. Then listen to your inner spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Do you find peace about this deal? Are you troubled about it? Are you excited about it? Is there peace? Let peace be your thermometer when you are handling difficult customers. Thank you.
Okay, so she talked about inner peace. She talked about knowing your customer. She talked about having a common ground. I'm going to delve more into that. But before then, let's call on Pastor Omi to come give us a few more tips on how to upgrade our LinkedIn profile. Thank you.
We're done with the LinkedIn. Okay, so on our CVs, first you have your name, your home address, your residential address, because your employer wants to know where you reside, if it's okay to employ you from where you stay. Your phone number, please make sure that what you put there, you can have more than one phone numbers. Make sure you put your WhatsApp number also. Recruitment has gone beyond just calling you on phone. Now they do a lot with social media. Put your WhatsApp number, your email address. Please take out state of origin, take out local government area. There's no need for that anymore. The world has gone beyond that. Make sure you have a professional statement. If you go on YouTube, if you go on Google, type professional statements guide. You will understand what you need to do. So it depends on your field. Your professional statement just describes you, describes what you have done, describes how proficient you are with some, you know, it could be Microsoft Office suits and all of that. Update your education and your certification. Please accept you're applying in an entertainment industry. Leave out hobby. I love to swim. I like to sing. I like to jump.
If you're going into an entertainment industry, it's fine to put that. If you're going into some other industries, you may want to take that out. And then, very important, the fact that you have seen a job advert does not mean you go into your archive and you just pick the CV that is there and send. I have up to like 12 different CVs, and I save them with different adverts. So what do I do? There's no line in any of the CVs. It's just that I look at the adverts, I look at the language of the employer. The employer wants someone who gives attention to details. This is key. This is a key competency that the employer wants to see. I know I give attention to details, so I'm not lying. So I go to my CV. I make sure that my language rhymes with the employer's language. So it doesn't matter that you have a CV. You shared with Pastor Agnes. She said, oh, wow, lovely, you can use this. And then Nestle comes tomorrow, sends an advert, and then you just pick it from anywhere. You have to review your CV. Make sure there's an alignment between your language and the employer's language. Make sure there's a synchronization. Make sure that some of the values the employer is looking for are actually some of the values you have. And this will take me back to LinkedIn. I mentioned that you need to update your skills. Now, this is key. If you don't know how to update your skills, don't worry, relax. Go back to LinkedIn. There must be a particular type of job you want. Search for that job on LinkedIn. Look out for the skills the employer wants. If you have those skills, those are the key skills you need to update on your LinkedIn. If you do not have those skills, Pastor Barra spoke a lot about personal development. Begin to build a plan as to how you will get them. And it's very easy. Do I tell you how? Pastor Agnes mentioned Udemy, IBM, Microsoft. I remember when the lockdown started, I sent a link on Ecclesia for Microsoft training and Google training. They have so many soft skill trainings there. You do emotional intelligence. Within 2 hours, you get a certification that you are emotionally intelligent. So these are the things you need to do. Go to the kind of job you want. Look out for the skills. Update your profile. Go back online. Check on how you can build on these skills. Thank you.
Wow. Sorry, I'm sounding like an ambulance. It's just that, you know, I thought I knew, but for everybody that has spoken, there's just something new. I'm very lazy when it comes to writing my CV. So let me confess. So I gave a professional to write my own. I've just been keeping it there. Anywhere you call me, I send it. What do you mean? I paid for it now. You okay? You know, but looking at it now, I see why I haven't been called back. Yeah. I know, you know, it would be wrong to lie to myself. I see why I have not been called back. You know, and another thing that she mentioned, which I think is worth talking about, is know your industry. Know the industry you are going into. So I moved from entertainment, where everything was okay, to a professional, where I was coming from. When we do one event, you rest for 2 weeks. You know, like soft work. But I moved to somewhere where you finish an event in the morning, and then by 10 minutes, 20 minutes later, they are asking you for reports. And you're like, how? We just left an event. Basically, so know your industry, know your expectations, right? Okay, so it's question time, and a lot of questions have been written down, adding to the ones we have here. So I don't even know where we want to start. I'm so sorry for this panelist, though. I'm so sorry. So to assist me will be Faye. Faye, oh yeah, oh, come. We'll do this together. Pastor David, in 30 seconds, because the questions are many. How can I position myself to partner with God in my business? Well, before you answer that, while you are putting your thoughts together, Tina, how can I separate my personal life and business? For example, having a friend like me who does not pay for a lot of things, how do you do it? Pastor Ose, how do I handle difficult customers? All right, so tape rolling, 30 seconds, go.
Okay, I think partnering with God, like she mentioned earlier, you must pray. You must fast. The fasting is not just because you want to do an exercise. It's that you want to know the next thing to do, how to go about it. For instance, Jacob was in Laban's house. It was time for him to leave, and God gave him a wisdom. This is how to go about it and all of that. It was something novel. The industry had never seen that before. But because what worked for him, he had a covenant with God. So you must take advantage of that covenant relationship we have with God to further your business.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, Tina, please.
Thank you. Differentiating business. First of all, you must know that your friends and family are your number one customer. It's friends and family that will refer you. They are your biggest cheerleader. They are the one that can come to Barra. I get somebody in a construction. I get person. They do advert free of charge and with so much excitement. So first, number two, how do you yourself, how do you carry this business? Do you carry it as a play thing? Or that you carry it as, this is a serious thing that I want it to grow. I want it to be international. Then define boundaries. Agnes, I know how to collect my money from her. She knows me. She said, I don't have money. I'll say, how much do you have? Bring it. I'll go and buy the material. Finish the job. She does not balance. She can never get that thing. The next one, beware of dreaming alone. Communicate with your families and friends. Tell them what you want to be in 10 years' time. Tell them how you want to be in some years' time. So that when the time comes, they won't downplay your dream because they already know what and what you want to do. Wow. Sorry, then learn to delegate. For example, if Agnes is my friend and I know that every time she does work, she does not want to pay, I'll just call my boy. Agnes, Tina, please, I want to make cabinet. Godwin, please go to Agnes' house. I will see whether he will not pay that one. So you must learn to delegate. Then the next one, make them rely on you. Know that you have got their back. Know that you are doing business and you are so strict. At times, I've made cabinet for Agnes for years. When I go to her house to visit her, if I see that the cabinet is wasegbe, it's bending somehow, I will help her and drill it and fix it. So you must try to put extra in their own because they are the ones that sells you. I know how many people she has referred me to. I know how many people Tobe has referred me to.
Bless
God. I know how many people that some other people have referred me to. Thank you
very much, Tina. Thank you, Pastor Osei.
Okay, so for handling difficult customers, really comes from a perspective of emotional intelligence. There are customers that are really worth it in terms of, okay, so sometimes some customers, what they are really just asking for is their right. Customers are, like the slogan says, customers are always right. And so I'll give an example. So I have a particular customer then in when I was actually for my solar business. So, and the customer, we had kind of a good relationship, and he refers me. But anytime he refers me, he wants to collect more or less like a half of the commissions of what he's referring me for. And I'm like, sir, this is obviously not going to make me competitive. Because another person brings a proposal, it knocks it down. Then he's telling me, okay, hey, if it's not coming, look for how to get affordable equipment. I said, I can't do that. So the truth about it is once or twice I got into trouble with that particular customer, with the person he referred me to. And for me, I learned a big deal. And one of the things I really learned was, from henceforth, if you are dealing with a customer that probably referring you to another customer and wants to take some commissions, let the customer know this is the limit to the commission you can give him. And let him know that this is the limit because it's going to affect your business or affect the quality of work you're going to be giving for that person. And if he disagrees, know how to decline and probably just gently decline. The other customer, if he's really interested in your work, can get across to you. Once he get across to you, you can get across to that customer. Sir, this customer has probably gotten across to me. Based on what we've discussed before, this is a particular commission I'll be able to give you from this particular job. Now, if it's a customer that, okay, probably maybe your staff was rude to, and the customer is saying, or probably maybe the customer felt cheated from the service you provided, you really need to look for how to solve that problem. So for me, I am very, very top on customer service. And because I know that my biggest customers are the women, I try as much as possible not to be in the opposite part of dealing with them. So I had this particular customer, a particular woman, and she was complaining so bitterly. Her gas had finished so early. And it wasn't really as a result of our fault. But there was this particular rubber that got slacked, got weak, and the gas leaked out. So I decided to say, okay, I'm going to give you half of the gas for free. And at your next, you don't need to pay for that. At your next purchase, then we can do the full top up and you pay the full amount. She was so happy because of that. She'd always call us. She always call me next time and the rest. And there was also a particular customer that my staff was rude to. I really scolded him. Because I tell my staff, I said, you will go and come, but these customers will keep on patronizing me. So and you mustn't ensure, I don't ensure that a staff is the reason why a customer is going. I ensure that if the customer wants to probably patronize another person out of free will, but I ensure the best to give best customer service to them at that particular time when they are patronizing me.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I want to chip in something. The first thing I want to say is, I can actually testify to what Ose is saying. I've seen his register before. I saw him give out questionnaires before starting. I can also say a bit about Tina and her resilience and Pastor David. But I want to ask you a question. For those of us who are starting a business or who want to start a business, do you understand that business? What you know, is it enough to be preferred? Or is it just a fine face you have? Or is it just ability to talk? Talking is a skill anyway. Aha. Number two, how important is your business in a city like Lagos? Because some people fail from the start. For instance, recently I started going to the, becoming more health conscious. And one thing the doctor says, I should stop eating cake. Stop eating bread. Now, every Sunday, there's an allocation of cake waiting for me somewhere around here. How do I tell my lovely customer that the doctor is saying something? So I pray and I eat it. You know, sir? But this is the idea. Is your business something that takes the pressure off people? Does it make their life easy? Is it something they are really going to need? Or is it something that it is only when they are happy, when people are happy, that they want to come to you? So that you won't say that, Pastor, we are not selling, let's pray. There's no need to pray. The average lady, if I was going to do fashion, I would do fashion for women. Because the average lady doesn't like to wear a cloth twice. And I'm your guy. So, I'm going to talk to you. Forget about my, I'm not a pastor, I just got you. So, I'm going to come to you where you are. So, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Now, for instance, my sister started a cleaning business recently. Joy. That is a major crisis in Lagos. Now, what does Joy need to do? Now, I'm supposed to charge you for this, but since this is a training, I'll let it pass. So, when you want to come into a space, you ask yourself, what are people charging? How can you come into that market with minimal costs? How can you tell your customer, I'm going to do one, two, three things, things for you, but you end up doing five. So you must be very clear in your mind. Don't pray. Don't speak in tongues. Be very clear in your mind how you intend to go into that business. Let me give you another business. This is what I do. Apart from being a pastor, I give people ideas. But I will give you today because today is Christmas. For those of you who like to teach, I hope you know that there's a challenge with people leaving their children with teachers that they don't know. Godly people who can help tutor children from 2 p.m. to 4. Do you know how powerful that industry is? That you could just look at this church as it is and look at how many people have young children who needs personal teachers or tutors for them. That is a major industry. And please, in case you think it's an easy job, when you get there, after 2 months, I want to know how easy it is. It's not easy. But you are going to get value. Now, the challenge is that because you are a godly person, the issue of abuse that most people have when they leave their children with strange people has been taken out by 50%. Number two, if that person knows you very well before employing you as a tutor, you've gotten 70%. Now, if you are a lady and you are married, and that is what you do, you have gotten 110%, because they will be looking at you with that matured status. There are certain things some of us are doing, and there are people watching me online. You know, normally you are supposed to give feedback forms for this service. But the only feedback you can do is to go back to our Facebook page, share the video for the first service, and share the video for a second service. We want to help people. There are people who are going for motivational classes. You don't need motivation in business. You need vision and discipline. Because a day is going to come. You will be asking yourself if you are the one producing the item or if you are the customer, because you will start wearing your own product because nobody is buying. A day will, I mean, okay, let me, as a pastor, my business is pastor. My business is pastor. Please, permit me, Tina. We had an outreach at Tina's school on Thursday, or was it on Friday? And there was a lady that could not walk well for the past 6 years. And I prayed for her and she started walking. You know what happened? Do you know what the devil said to me? I don't know if it's the devil or my, because I adopted the name Chukwu Nonso as my business, as my Igbo name. Because something tells me in my former life, I was Igbo. But when that woman began to walk well, I started thinking that if this was Dangote's son, do you know the prophet offering? You just notice I switch off for like 2 weeks. Our pastor is praying. He's not praying. I don't want anybody. Because that's where some people will be calling you, Pastor, there's a challenge. We need money. So I switch off. But you know, the woman started walking, I just said to her, she's even Catholic. I said, go to your church and give testimony. You understand? So me and my God, my employer, will be settling the other one. You know what I'm saying? There are days you will do things for people. You may not even get a thank you. You may not even get, thank you, we love you. If anything, they will think is their right. The issue of entitlement that Ose was talking about. So when you have all these kind of people, a customer is bringing his frustrated boss in his mind from the office in Ikoyi and brings it to Suru Ilere and then puts it on Ose's business. Why can't you deliver in 5 minutes? Ose is wondering what's wrong with the woman because they greeted each other properly yesterday. The woman is coming in frustrated. If Ose doesn't expand his joint to be able to accommodate the frustrations of others, and if you don't know what it means for your gas to be exhausted without warning, and then to call us and Ose says, oh, we are in a prayer meeting in church, I can't come. Or when you are cooking spaghetti, do you understand? Or you want to pound jam for your husband and something goes wrong. Then you now understand now that Ose is as important as a doctor. I went to David and I said, mentor me in online business. But do you know that I actually started a store on Jumia? But it's because of David. He guided me. He ran the entire process. Now imagine that someone is here now and you have a gap in your area where you live. And you say to Ose, I'm not doing anything. No. We don't have anybody in this our area. If I get you people here, what is my commission? But somebody is waiting for someone that is going to give you free money. There is no free money anywhere. There is no free anointing anywhere. There is no free prayer anywhere. Hear me clearly. I'm saying that as you hear the stories, go back on this. This thing is recorded live on Facebook. It's going to be on YouTube. It's already on Mixella. So please go back, listen again. There are a lot of things. You may need to go to them after this meeting. Don't be proud. They have started. It's just like asking me now. Our church was, you know, we just clocked 6 years. Okay? And we started 2 churches in 5 years. Okay? And maybe I should tell you, in 2 months, we are starting a 3rd church. Okay? Now the question is this. The question is this. The church is going to be in Bagada. Okay, now the question is this. How many pastors do you know who are less than 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they are starting churches like that? So you can come to me and ask me. Somebody called me from Bali and said, oh, once I started a church in Victoria Island, and he told me what he was going to do. I didn't pray. I told him that church will fail. But he has been pastoring for 15 years. I am just pastoring for 6 years. But I said to him, Pastor, that church will fail. And I gave him my reason, and that was the end of the matter. So you notice that with what Osei does, there are some knowledge acquisitions he has gotten. They are not tied to book. They are tied to the environment and to the market. Same thing for Tina. Same thing for Uncle Tio. Uncle Tio, somebody saw your profile online, and the person called my wife. And the person said, where did you know Tio from? My wife said, what do you mean? The person said, where did you know him? Do you know who that guy is? That's the question they were asking. The person was asking, do you know who that guy is? From the days of Pastor Wale Adenuga, you know Pastor Wale Adenuga in Redeem? Say, from the days when their music thing was going on. The person, my wife now said, but he attends our church. Say, Tio attends your church. Tio, say, hold him. So I'm coming to visit him this week. The bottom line, you are looking for Dangote. There are people here who are getting it right. There's somebody sitting beside you now who has started a business. This lady runs a fashion business. When she told me she was going to leave her business, I was afraid. But I can tell you she's doing so well in her own house. This lady wearing glasses, this fine girl sitting here. And there are some of you, look at Biola working for one law firm then. How can you go to law school for and spend how many millions? And then they will be giving you 20,000, 25, 30,000. So that's what my bank pays their cleaners who don't even have secondary school certificate. And you come back with this fine face and they are paying 30,000. Biola started her own law firm. Now, listen to me. The idea of starting is that anywhere you go, you can replicate. So don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Learn. Don't say Biola is your friend. You may see her today, you may not see her tomorrow. Go and submit yourself to a mentorship program. Your take home from this meeting is what determines what happens to you after now. If you have ever sold a product and it didn't sell, or you undersold and it failed, you've learned how to fail. Tomorrow you know why you will not fail. It is not textbook. It is the market. It is the environment. It is what you saw and you felt and how you came back. We didn't talk about rebounding. How to rebound after you have fallen. That's another area entirely. Because when you don't know how to bounce back, then people will step on you. Then people will tell you failed. Then you will also look at the mirror and tell yourself you failed. When you go back home, Joy, pick your phone contact. Listen, Tina said your first customers are your friends. But I have realized most friends don't patronize their friends. They can patronize once emotionally. But if what I like or say, there was a time me and Osei were fighting. You understand? Last month or 2 months ago, we were fighting. So we were not talking. But do you know that we are keeping malice? But do you know that if my gas finished that day, is it part of the fight? No. Do you see what I'm saying? Go look for your business, the one you have a passion for, but get that business people cannot do without. Look for the business, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. His real business is real estate and oil. But the one people know is KFC because he knows we like food. That is the one he sold as franchises all over the world. But he takes all that money and puts it in real estate in the U.S. Nobody hears about that, but that's his real money. So please, when you leave this place, go to them. Don't see us here tomorrow and say, my guy, ask him what you need to get to the next. Get your phone contact out, write names. Can I begin to clean for your church? Can I begin to clean for your business? I have an HR company. Most of you don't know about it. And it's because you are not my customer yet. Huh? I'm your gas customer. Uh-huh. It's as if you work for somebody. But do you know that our first client in that office, we are working for that person free of charge? Free. Free. But we needed that free market to get into the business. Yes, so it's not about money, it's value. A day we come, the money will follow you. But if you don't have the value, if you don't have the requisite knowledge, if you are not skillful, you will come again like this. My sister, you heard me when we had a conversation and I referred you to somebody in your business and I said, go and submit to that person. It's as simple as ABC. When I came to I decided to become a full-time pastor. I didn't do it like a stupid man. I told myself, the way I worked for man is the way I will work for God. So I wake up and I'm thinking church. I'm thinking systems. I'm thinking everything we need to do. Sometimes you look at this place as it is. It takes us sometimes 300,000 to keep this place like this. And we are not even seeing it. But it is the money. It is the value. Now, can your so-called interest take food from you and you take that 20,000 and put it in business? And somebody is going to say, we are looking for job. Which job? Get two businesses. The one you have a passion for and the one people cannot do without. So I rest my case.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Pastor, say very quickly, sir, how do you raise funds for your business? How do you raise funds?
Okay, so funding, first of all, starts with family and friends. So basically, not everything is money to per se. Sometimes you need equipment to start with. So I could remember when I started my laundry business, after some months, I discovered that we needed a generator. So I was praying one morning, God, we need a generator, over 100,000 naira to buy a brand new one, almost 10 years ago. And I've been noticing a generator under my neighbor's staircase. I was still living with my parents then. And I said, this gen, it will work for, but I didn't know how to go and meet the woman that, are you using this? I knew she wasn't using it. So I was reading the Bible and I got to that place, triumphant entry, where the Lord said, when you enter a city, any house you see, tell them that the Lord has need for it. So so I said, how will I go and meet this woman now? It was my landlord's daughter-in-law. So I said, okay. So I went to meet her. I said, Ma, I saw this generator in a staircase. Are you in use? Is it something you're using currently? Is this thing in use? He said, no, I would like to use the gen for. I said, she's not using it for now, but maybe she'll be needing like another 2 to 3 months. I can probably use it for like a month to 2 months. So I said, okay, no problem. So I took it, and that really solved the problem. Rather than taking the capital from the business to go and buy a gen at that time, were able to use that gem for that time. So after like about 2 months, I returned the gem back to her. So like after 2 weeks after, she just came to me and told me that, okay, she wanted to sell the gem. How much do I have? So you can imagine, I bought that gem for like maybe 40% of what the price would have been. And I didn't even pay all at once. I paid like twice because of the relationship I had with her. So that's actually capital. I didn't need to go and borrow money from the bank or raise money. That's one way you can leverage on, because everything is around you, really, really around you. You can leverage on the people, the friends, the family members. You should also take advantage of grants. Like for me especially, I've not really been so lucky in getting grants. I've applied for quite a few, but I've really not gotten. So what I really leverage on is work on my business. Make it generate more money, and family and friends basically as well. So for me, that's it.
Hello? Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. Partly what I also heard from what you just shared now is start from where you are. Yeah. A lot of us are waiting for the big bank money. It will never come. It's not the same way you don't give any money. Yes, it will never come. Because God will trust you with the little you have. You know how some of us don't give until, you know, we're waiting for that million we get so that we can wow pastor and give him the tithe that will wow him. You know, it's the same thing here. Peradventure, what if you did not look at that generator? Audaciousness, we talked about it in career. Yes, please go on, sir.
So if you have not learned how to manage 100,000, if you get a million, you will mismanage it.
I'm a living testimony.
What God will do is he will take you through the process of growing that 100,000 naira to 200,000, to 300,000, to 500,000. You know, because if you don't learn how to manage that small money, when big money comes to your hand, because your level of management is at 200,000, you see the remaining 800,000, you think it's just money for something else. You use it to buy something else. You won't know that you need equipment, you need materials, you need to do this to brand and all of that. You need to expand your business. Yeah. So don't pray yet for that 1 million naira because it will crush you. Start from ground up. It's better that way than to go and start with 1 million naira. The decisions you will make at that beginning time, I tell you, will be the wrong decision.
Wow. Thank you so much.
So start from ground up where the risk is minimal. Then you go and start from 2 million naira that is not your money.
Mm.
It's dangerous too.
Wisdom. Wisdom, Pepe, else we are.
But if you are providing service, you really don't need money. You can go to a cyber cafe, pay 100 naira, they'll do letterhead for you. And go and get the people that have the skill. You are just providing your services, your skill, so your name. So wow. You don't really need money to provide service.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much for that. Thank you. Before we round off, I want to say thank you to everyone who is sitting and listening, because I know it's not easy to actually sit through this, especially when everyone is also, you know, have a level of knowledge or the other. But I pray and I hope that this has been as enriching as it has been for me, for you guys also. And finally, Pastor David, you may have glossed over this, but I think it's worth discussing. When do I start paying my tithe? When business, you know, do I wait until I have profit? How do I differentiate? So even in the career space now, when they pay me bonus or something like that, I ask God, do I tithe this? You know, it's not my salary. You know, I'm thinking about it, you know. And another thing I want to ask, it's all compassing because you have worked in both places, right? How do you remove yourself from that money? So, for example, you get a lump sum of 2 million, 3 million naira. You know that taking out the tithe scatters that money. Exactly, you know. So please, can you just, in two seconds, just answer all those questions?
Okay, so let me start this way. Cash flow is not profit. Yeah. I hope somebody understands that. Cash flow is the capital you have for your business. Yeah. Let me say this way. Cash flow is the lifeblood of the business. Every business needs cash to function. So if you don't have cash, it will be difficult for you to start. So now when cash begins to, there's inflow, there's outflow. You know, at the end of the month, there's profit, there's a positive cash flow, there's a negative cash flow. Negative cash flow is simply when the amount of money you are making at the end of the month is less than the amount of money you put into the business. Positive cash flow is when the amount of the money at the end of the month you make is more than what you put into the business. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So that is positive. The other one is negative. Now, so when you are seeing cash flowing in your account like that, there's temptation for entrepreneurs, for startup companies. If you have not learned, if you don't have a written, like a business proposal, something documented, you will mismanage that. And you know what your business proposal is supposed to do is it's supposed to inform you how the step-by-step decisions or processes or product or machines you have to get to acquire. So if you don't understand that part, you run a loss. So now to go back to the question is, when do I start tithing? For me, this is what I do. I tithe from the profits. And I think Pastor Ose and I have had this conversation. And before I say this, there's another mistake entrepreneurs make. You see, the cost of that product is not just how much you pay to the supplier. You have to factor in the cost of transportation, the cost of labor. You have to factor in utility, rent, all of these things, you know, tax. You have to factor in all of these things. Now, if you really want to keep your book, you need to be able to account for all of these things succinctly.
Yes, no title.
You need to be able to, you know, track where this money is going into, where this money is coming in from. And let me say this, if you have a corporate account, please, it's not the time for somebody, your brother in US, to send money into their account. Business owners make that mistake that you just allow money that's not for business to come in into that through that account. I think business account limited liability. The bankers in the house can inform us better on that. You'll be making a gross mistake if you do that. When you need to approach the bank or FIRS and all of that, if they are checking your book, this money, where is it coming from? Where did this money go to? And you know there's something called skumo now. You know, Pastor is into... Pastor does that. So if you want to do your skumo...
We would have to have another session for all of this because it looks like Greek.
Yes, you will pay tax on that money. It's not part of the business.
Wow. So you see, wow, ambulance, I'm so wowed. I'm wowed.
Let me just say this one. I've done it before. The first job I had, I think it was about 8 million, and I paid tight for that 8 million. So when I paid tight for that 8
million.
Were you
a member of this church, please?
Yes, I was. So let's not be emotional. I was so emotional that, Lord, you're the one that gave me this deal. I give you my all. So what Pastor David has said is the truth. Don't be emotional. Lord, you gave me this deal. I give you my all. So when the business didn't continue, I was angry with God. I said, but I'm giving you everything. What's going on?
Praise God. There's a thin line, and I think I want to step in here for a bit. There's a thin line between knowing what to do, doing the right thing, and taking a step of faith. So I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know this is the way, but I'm taking a step of faith. Know the difference. And then you can now go to the place of prayer and say, Father, I took a step of faith. My faith has to count. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, everyone. Please give yourself a round of applause. Praise God. Thank you so much. Please, there will be counseling sessions. All the panelists will be around to be on ground to answer all your questions. All of them apart from Agnes, but every other person will be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you. We do not take it for granted. Please, can we just thank Pastor? Thank you so much, sir.